What's up, everybody? It's Aaron Nagler. It's another Packers victory, and it's another Monday talking with Andy Herman. Let's talk some football. Andy, how the hell are you on this fine Victory Monday?
Victory Monday, 2-0. Offense put up back-to-back 40 burgers. I got nothing to complain about, man.
Oh, well, then you're not really a Packers fan, because there's plenty to complain about if you check online. You know, a number one is the Packers defense and or the run defense, which, again, let's caveat this with, I understand people being concerned. I don't have time for people who only dwell on the negatives, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend they don't exist. So let's start with the fact that, yes, Kenny Clark was out, and Detroit seemed to kind of have their way early in that game. Was there a point in the first quarter, say, where maybe you thought, maybe this is where the defense gets exposed a little bit?
100%. And I'm glad we're talking about this first, because I'm honestly intrigued by your opinion on this as well. I've gone back. Obviously, I watched the Minnesota tape in great detail. I went back. I watched this game on the condensed version after watching it originally. So I watched it twice. My gut feel is that the defense doesn't feel quite right, which is okay. It's week two. You know, right. Matthew Stafford, good quarterback. And you know, I think some of the run game concerns are legitimate. The big point where it hit is when they allowed the first two touchdowns this week against Detroit. If you go back, they ended the game with three touchdowns against Minnesota, started this game with two against Detroit. They allowed 38 points in five consecutive drives. I have to believe that that's an NFL record for most points allowed in a five-drive span. You can only get 39 or 40 are the only worst, and I can't imagine that that's happened. So that was concerning to me. But then you look at the kind of the game as a whole, and I know things flipped when the offense got going and they got ahead with the double touchdowns before halftime and after half. But if you would have told me, or probably Mike Pettine or Matt LaFleur, going into this game, that Green Bay would allow 21 points on defense, score seven on their own, have four sacks and intentional grounding, three and outs, and you know, have that type of overall performance, I think you would say, okay, they only allowed 307 total yards. Green Bay's running backs scored more than, or had more total yards than the entire Lions offense did. So my gut tells me something doesn't seem quite right yet. And I think there's a lot that they can continue to work on. But at the same token, I also get, you know what? The game of football is difficult, and winning football is difficult, and stopping opposing teams is difficult. And I think they did a much better job after those first two drives of getting things together. But I'm very curious as to your thoughts on where the defense is through 2 weeks.
I mean, it's not surprising. The stress points are appearing exactly where we thought they would, right? Yeah. After an offseason of whatever limited activity they had, coupled with what we saw day in and day out at practice, you know, coming into this year, my number one response when people said, you know, what's the one area of concern? It's got to be run defense. And I don't think I've seen anything to allay those fears. Yeah. But football is such a situational game. And, you know, you hear coaches harp all the time on situational football. And the Packers, for whatever reason, have come out of the gate somewhat cold in both of these games and then seemingly turned it around a little bit and then gone on to win pretty comfortably both times. And then that's something I want to ask Matt LaFleur about here in a little while when we talk to him, is about the idea of last year they were so hot out of the gate. And in the games, they just completely controlled on offense usually. And this year, these first two games anyway, they have come out somewhat cold. So I do think some of it is situational. It allows teams, because they have been able to get ahead and or had an even score, a wide selection of plays to draw from. And if I think the biggest takeaway I had early on in that game, going back and watching it, is how close they were on a number of plays. Yeah. If you look at Jair, he probably has a pick six there, I would say 7 times out of 10. Instead, he allows a completion, which actually just gets batted up in the air, and it's kind of a fluke play. The Amos not wrapping up on Hockenson on that first drive. Things of that nature where, you know, they have kind of out-of-character mistakes that bubble over into bigger gains and or issues for a defense that has the talent, I think, to be much more effective. Overall, I think there's no question they've got problems up front. Yeah, I don't think there's any way to hide that. But the way they're constructed, especially on offense, they're going to be able to paper over that a lot more times than they're not going to be able to.
Yeah, and of course, you know, getting Kenny Clark back is certainly going to help with that as well at some point. But we've been on the exact same page all offseason. When everyone wanted to talk about wide receivers and, you know, all the other positions, right. Defensive line was 1A, and they never really addressed that. And we'll see if maybe they can kind of piecemeal that together as the season goes on. But the last thing that I have, too, is it's been interesting to me because, you know, yesterday's game, they're 29-10. Going into the fourth quarter. So, 34-14 going into the fourth, 29-10 a week ago. Right. So of those 10 points that they allowed, they also scored 2 on their own with the safety and scored 7 on their own of those 14 this week. So I know it's not completely garbage time football. You can't just chalk it up to that and some of the points that they've allowed in the fourth quarter, but they've gone in with commanding leads and only, again, 24 points in the first 3 quarters combined in those 2 games. So yeah. there's still positive signs from the defense.
It's funny you bring that up because I was just going back and looking at some of the stats from the Minnesota game, and I forgot, I guess I knew it from watching the tape, but I forgot how many points they allowed in the fourth quarter of that game. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. It was like a point explosion for Minnesota, but the game was pretty much out of reach. So again, yeah. It comes down to situational football, and I think they need to be better in that regard, but I think there's enough there to work with, and they've got the talent necessary to turn around, so to speak. We've seen the NFL is littered with teams that started poorly on defense and got better as the year went on. And I don't need them to be even a top 5 defense. They just have to be better situationally.
Agreed.
Talking about the talent on the defensive side, what about the start from Rashawn Gary? I mean, here's a kid I think was dogged a lot this offseason for how little he played as a rookie. But man, I'm telling you, he has started hot in these first 2 games.
Man, I remember back, there was some huge asshole who said it was the worst case scenario to draft Rashawn Gary with the 12th right. overall pick, was really disappointed after the selection.
I'm trying to recall his name. He was on a live program here on Cheesehead TV. Ridiculous. I'm trying to remember who that was.
The best parts of being wrong are when a player goes out and proves you incorrectly, and it's a benefit to the Packers. Those are the best ones. So kudos to him. He's been, you know, nothing short of you know, what they've expected so far this year out of him. And, you know, going back into training camp, and I think we touched base on this either in one of these or in a different episode or something, but mm-hmm. of all the players who are getting glowing reviews, whether it be the Tim Boyles, the Alan Lazards, the who deservedly had really good practices.
Right.
I always go back.
MVS was one of those guys. Yeah.
Another one. Yeah, no doubt. I always go back and say, all right, which one of these can actually take a jump to be a player who opposing coordinators really have to worry about when they're scheming a game plan? And the one player that stood out to me that could potentially have that type of impact was Rashawn Gary. And we're starting to see that having massive impacts. Impactful plays back-to-back weeks. I think he's right there, right among the sack leaders so far this season. So he's been exactly what they've been hoping for. And when you pair him eventually, I think when Z gets going even more, he's had a nice start, but I think he still can even be another notch higher. I think Preston's still getting things into gear. Kenny obviously wasn't healthy this week. I think when those 4 guys are on the field in obvious passing situations moving forward, just look the hell out.
What do you make of Preston's start? Because I've gotten a lot of messages both on Twitter and in my inbox saying, well, is there something wrong with Preston? And it's funny because it hasn't jumped out at me in either game watching it live. Going back and looking at him, I can see how people would say, okay, he seems to be slow and or lumbering or having issues turning into coverage. And I keep kind of like trying to balance the idea of, okay, I'm trying not to have unrealistic expectations, but at the same time, I kind of see what people are talking about in the sense of he doesn't seem to be quite as vital or electric or as up. And those are weird words to use, and I know it's kind of a nebulous idea, but comparative to what he gave us last year, it seems a notch slow this year, and I can't quite put my finger on it.
Yeah, when I went back, the first, I want to say 8 to 10 games last year for Preston were dynamic. In fact, when I graded him out, I actually had Preston ahead of Zadarius through the first 8 to 10 games of last season. Then Z just went on a whole another level. And right. I thought Preston leveled off through the second half of last year. And I think this is a little bit of a carryover from the end of what we kind of saw towards the second half of last year. And that's not to say that that's bad. I think he's still a good football player.
That's my point. Like, I can't bring myself to say he's had a poor start because I think he's played pretty darn well overall. I mean, he's had a solid campaign, but I do think because so much was made this offseason of the Smith brothers and their placement as far as edge rushing duo, I guess we probably did expect a little bit more. And the fact that it hasn't arrived instantly – I guess I can understand why people would question it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think the other thing too is with Kyler Fackrell gone, they needed a linebacker that was going to drop back in coverage a little bit more. Not that he didn't necessarily do it a season ago. He did a decent amount of it too, but you'll see him dropping back in coverage a little bit more. And yeah, you know what? If Preston gets one-on-one with a running back on an angle route, it's probably not going to look good. Well. That's not on Preston. That's just you got caught with your pants down a little bit. You know, you give up 15 yards, you go to the next play. But, you know, I think he's going to be okay. I don't think he's ever going to maybe be what he came out those first 8 to 10 games a season ago. I think he's still a very good player. And again, when you put those four guys combined, I think it's still a major weapon for Mike Pettine on defense.
All right. We've talked a lot about the defense. Let's switch it over to the offense. Obviously, you got to love not only the production, but the way they've been able to, you know, in week one, force feed Davante Adams, essentially. And then you heard Aaron talk after the game yesterday about how they expected the team to try the Detroit Lions to try and take away Devontae, which they did essentially. But there's Aaron Jones to step up and take the mantle, so to speak, of the guy who's going to basically drag them along on offense. So it's great to see them being able to utilize different guys dependent on, you know, what the matchups present each week. Do you think that's sustainable? Do you think this is a team? Obviously, I don't expect them to score 40 points every single week, although it would be nice. But do you think this is the kind of the offense that we can expect? Okay, one guy is down this week, so we have to expect, you know, X, Y, or Z to pick it up.
Yeah, I think in Minnesota, you know, it sounded like, and I'd have to go back and look at it as well, but it sounded like Minnesota played more, you know, single high and added an extra guy in the box more than Green Bay was expecting, which, you know, an effort to take away Aaron Jones. All right, you're going to take away Aaron Jones. We're going to attack on the outside with our receivers, play after play after play, and specifically with Devontae. And, you know, to an extent, I don't even necessarily know that it was force feeding. It was just taking advantage of the best matchup on the given play, which was Devontae. This week, Detroit plays, you know, more two high safeties. They go into a little bit more of doubling Devontae early in the game and trying to take him out, which is what you expected, I expected, Matt LaFleur expected. And they go and they run Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, who I think almost got overshadowed a little bit because of how
you really did. You're so right. Yes. Yeah. 100%.
So they, you know, they run it right down Detroit's throat. And again, running backs had 316-ish yards in total offense yesterday. So, you know, can they do that to every team? Probably not. Like you said, they're not going to put up 500-plus yards and 40 points every week. But you love to see the fact that they have multiple stars that they can feature. They're going to take away one, we'll feature the other. And I think, you know, we're to the point now where MBS and Lazard and Jamal Williams and I think Tyler Irvin and even, you know, A.J. Dillon, Josiah DeGuara, I think some of these guys are really proving that, hey, we're not going to be stars, but, you know, we can hit, you know, 250, 275 for you and, you know, be a solid hitter in the you know, bottom of the order when some of those other guys are maybe having an off day.
It's funny. One of the things I've loved these first 2 weeks is the design that LaFleur has used a couple of times. And obviously there's always a bunch of window dressing as far as where guys start and then they motion, et cetera. But there have been at least three or four third downs where they've gone to a bunch and then run Tanyan out of the top of that bunch, basically as a clear out guy. He literally is just running into his man as interference, but he's running straight ahead. It's not like they can call him on anything. And then they bring MVS or Lazard underneath on a shallow cross. And it's basically worked every time. I'm just waiting for the inevitable flag to come out, but right now it's absolutely perfection. I mean, it literally has worked every time.
It's gorgeous. And they, you know, they used it against Minnesota and I started to kind of pick up on it there. It would have been even better had MVS not dropped the third down. They had the same thing a week ago, but they start off this week with a third down. I think it was a third down MVS on the crossing route again. They hit it. This time he catches it, gets good yards. The one I love is the Aaron Jones crosser that they ran in a similar formation. So that linebacker covering him goes through three separate picks. He goes through Tanyan, Lazard, and not only Tanyan and Lazard, but Tanyan and the guy covering Tanyan.
Exactly.
And the guy covering Lazard, and then MVS the guy is clearing too. So he goes through three washes on his way. Aaron Jones picks up 22 yards on the play. And it's just another one, the end zone wheel to Aaron Jones where he scored the touchdown. Again, linebacker has to go through the wash there. And it's just – you know, for all the time where we look back at the Mike McCarthy, where they had so much struggles against, you know, single, you know, press man-to-man coverage and, you know, weren't using these type of bunch formations. He started to a little bit later on, but, you know, now you see, you know, good luck if they're not going to call those. And even if you get one penalty out of four or five.
Out of four, exactly. You're still going to be making buku yards out of it. And it's funny, LaFleur almost laughed when I brought it up yesterday. I don't know if he thought it was, because I said, did you expect so much mayhem because you're running your crossers? And he legit starts laughing. And I'm like, wait a second. You know, I think that's a legitimate question, but
yeah, for sure.
We'll see. We'll see if they continue it. Because like you said, McCarthy's teams had so much trouble with that too high man underneath. The Packers now seem to welcome it, and they seem to be killing it whenever it's presented. All right, Andy, I can't thank you enough for joining me. We're talking football each and every week. So it's always fun, especially fun after a win. We'll talk to you again down the line here on Cheesehead TV. Thanks so much for joining me, man.
Hey, appreciate it. We're undefeated when we do these, so I think if we keep
keep it up, I guess.
I think I'll say 16-0. So thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot, Andy.